And you pray for us and pray God would help us here. And pray the Lord would just ever use us. And we really need the touch of God tonight. And Sun Tzu wrote a book. It's an old Chinese. Sun Tzu was a Chinese general. And I don't know how old this book is, but he wrote a book called The Art of War. And that Art of War, that book has been used throughout history by many armies, by many of them studying the Art of War. One of the phrases and one of the things that he says is, know your enemy. Know your enemy. As one of the chapters there in the book is know your enemy. And I'm afraid today we don't know our enemy. I'm afraid we don't realize really who our enemy is. Sometimes we look at the world and we look at each other and we look at family members and we look at co-workers and we look at the left and we think, well, that's our enemy. No, that's not our enemy. They are maybe being used by our enemy, but that's not our enemy. Our enemy, and we're going to look at that tonight, we're going to look in verse number 12 at the powers of darkness, but we're going to go back to verse number 11 and look at the leader, and then next week, the Lord being our helper, we'll look at the legions. And so let's look tonight in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10 through 12. The Bible says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of this tonight, but I want you to understand this. Rulers of the darkness of this world and this spiritual wickedness in high places, you can look at that as what we are seeing a lot of in our society today. Now, there's a twofold meaning to this, and we're not going to get into all that tonight, but I want you to understand this. The Democrats are not our enemies. They are being used by the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And if you cannot see the spiritual wickedness that's going on in our society today, you need to get your head out of the sand. Because we are in a battle, remember, that's what we're talking about in the book of Ephesians, that come down to the end, we've talked about our submission, we've talked about our service, we've talked about our strength, and then we're going to talk about us being soldiers, but we see tonight, I want you to see, let's go back in verse number 11, and you pray for us, and you pray God would help us, and I'll do my best to share with you what the Word of God has to say. And let's look in verse number 11. And the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, we finished off last week about the possibility of standing. And that how the Bible tells us there that we are able to stand. It is capable for you and I. There is capability, I guess you could say, for you and I to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How do you know that? Because the Bible says that ye may be able to. He says there is a possibility that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. But I want you to understand tonight, I'm afraid most of us turn tail and run when it comes to standing against the wiles of the devil. And then the rest of us, we're so oblivious to him, we blame everything on everybody else. Now, I want to say this before I get started. I'm going to give you scripture tonight because I want you to understand he is a being to be respected, not reverenced, but he is a being to be respected according to the Word of God, because we will see that he's a very powerful being. We will also see tonight that when Michael, the archangel, when disputing about the body of Moses, didn't bring a railing accusation against the devil, but he said, the Lord rebuked thee. I have I noticed a post on Facebook this week of a friend of mine that I went to school with, and they were there, made a claim, and they were basically trying to order the devil around. Now understand this, I am a blood-bought child of the King, and I know that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world, and I know that I have the power of the Holy Ghost of God living within me, and I know that as I said, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. But I want you to understand tonight, you better be real careful about how you order the devil around. And I'm not talking about we don't have power to stand against him and we don't have power to resist him, because the Bible teaches us that we can do that. But I want you do not have power in yourself to order the devil around. You're no match for him. All right? Just go ahead and get that through your head. I mean, man, that'd be like a Grant back there coming up here and challenging the preacher. You know? We say, you know, here we are, and we think that we're some big super spiritual Christian. And we try to order him around, and I'm not making light of him tonight, and understand that. And I'm not giving him more power and more credit than what he deserves. But I want you to understand, you better be very careful about ordering him around. All right? And I want you to see this tonight. Let's look at the leader, the wiles of the devil. The devil is a New Testament word that is used 61 times in 57 verses. It is an Old Testament word, but the devil itself, the word devil, is never found in the Old Testament. But it's found 61 times in 57 verses in the New Testament. The word devils is mentioned 51 times in the New Testament and 4 times in the Old Testament. And now understand this, the devil and Satan are one. If you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 12, verse number 9. Very end of your Bible. Now you need to probably highlight these verses, because we're going to talk tonight about knowing your enemy. Knowing your enemy. May I say unto you today, it's not, sometimes we find churches that are having difficulties and churches that are splitting and this side's mad at this side. And it's not the people, okay? That's who the devil's using, but the problem is the devil's got him the people, amen? I mean, that's what's going on. When we have family problems, what is it? When someone in your family rises up against you and you're trying to live right and serve God and do right, what is it? The devil is using that person. So I want you to see tonight, notice this, what the Bible has to say in Revelation chapter 12, verse number 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Do you see that in that verse of Scripture there, John is identifying him as the great dragon, that old serpent, the devil, and Satan. Do you see his many names there? Satan is mentioned 56 times in your Bible. 56 times in your Bible, Satan is mentioned. Go to Job chapter number 1. Job chapter number 1. Job, Psalms, Proverbs. If you have a Bible, a Scofield Bible, about 560, somewhere there. 569, there we go. Very familiar passage of Scripture. We know this famous story of Job and the devil, or the Job and Satan. Let's begin reading in verse number 6 of Job chapter number 1. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now understand this. I believe, and I got Scripture, and I'll tell you why, I believe Job was written and Job lived after the flood. Okay? I do believe that. And like I say, I got Scripture. If you don't see me after church, that's fine. I'm telling you what I believe. But I do want you to see this. Job was able to approach God during this time frame. Job was able to go before God. The sons of God was there, and which are angels, and they were there to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. Now remember this. Remember those words, because I'm going to tie that in the end. He's going to and fro throughout the earth and walking up and down in it. You know what he's saying? He says, I'm going all over the world. There's no restraint upon me. And I want you to understand, as we look at this tonight, there is no restraint on him in this world, only what God restrains him on. He says, I'm going all over. I'm going up and down, to and fro. I'm walking all over the earth. And we're going to see. The Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The Bible also calls him the God of this world. And so we're going to see what the Bible has to say about this being named Satan, who is our enemy, the one that we are fighting against. Notice, go on. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side, and hast blessed the work of his hand, and in his substance is increased in the land? And may I just say to you tonight, thank God for the hedge that God's put around me and my family. Amen. Thank God for the hedge that he's put around our church. And thank God for the hedge that he's put around your family. And may we not break the hedge down. May we not tear it down. May we not break it through. May we stay inside the hedge that God has put us in. There was a hedge about Job. How do you know they ain't? I mean, you can't tell me there's not a hedge about us. So let's look on. He says, but put forth thine hand now and touch thee, and all that he hath, he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thine power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And we know the story there, how that Satan came, and because of his challenge to God about Job, God gave Satan permission to touch Job and all that he had. God gave him permission. So understand this, the only restraint that he has on this earth is what God has upon him. It's what God has upon him. Now, well, I'm going to share with you about how we can overcome him and how we can stand against him. But I want you to see, you better be real careful about making false accusations and railing accusations. He is not some mythical figure. He's not some fairy tale figure. He's not running around with pitchfork and pointed ears and a long pointed tail. I mean, there's many forms of being. The Bible calls him a dragon. The Bible calls him a serpent. The Bible calls him an angel of light. The Bible calls him the devil. The Bible calls him Satan. I mean, there's many different forms that this being has. But he's our enemy. Now, with the next mention of the devil that you find is in Matthew 9:32. Now, Satan is mentioned in Matthew chapter number 4. But I want you to see tonight, the next mention of the devil is in Matthew 32. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. Matthew 9:33. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. So we see here the next thing that I believe that God wants us to see. We're going to look at the temptation of the devil. We see his presence in Job, and we're going to Matthew chapter number 4, and we can see his presence in the life of Christ, and we can see the temptation that he puts before Christ. But as we look in Matthew chapter number 9, I want you to understand, and I'm going to take you through the book of Matthew, but I want you to see that there was the possibility of possession of the devil. Now understand this. I'm saved. There's only one spirit living inside of me, and that is the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God. As a believer, you cannot be possessed by the devil. Amen? You are possessed by the Holy Ghost of God. Now, if you've never been saved, there is a possibility. I'm not going into all that. But I want you to understand, I'm not trying to scare nobody tonight. But I want you to understand, the possession of the devils, okay, is a possibility even in this day. I'm not about knowing your enemy. I'm not trying to scare you. But you tell me how somebody can eat somebody else. You tell me how somebody can abuse a child. You tell me how somebody can torture someone and watch them grieve and are in such pain and they get joy and pleasure out of it. Okay? But now I want you to see tonight as we look, and I'm just kind of giving you some highlights, but let's go back to the first mention of the devil, or Satan in the New Testament. Matthew chapter number 4. As we see, he's brought into light by scriptures. His motive and his methods are to tempt us to sin. As scripture brings him into light in the New Testament, we see the first time that he's mentioned, he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ after he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Look in Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 1. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil, taking him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Excuse me. And the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto them, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now let's look at some things that's brought to light here about Satan. First of all, I want you to see this. I want you to see there's three ways that Satan tempts the Lord Jesus, and there's three ways that Satan tempts you. 1 John 5:14 says, For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Satan here came to Jesus, and he tempted him with the lust of the flesh. Now remember, Jesus had been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. He was led up there into the wilderness to be alone with God. And as he came back out of the wilderness to be fixing to begin his earthly ministry, the devil comes and tempts him. And he says this. He says, what did he say? And he answered it. He said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Think about the hunger that the Lord had. All right? 40 days and 40 nights. He was tempting him in his flesh. He was saying, okay, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread, and then you can eat. Right? All right, the next thing that he hips him with, I want you to see tonight, and see this, and understand the devil don't want you to know this about him. Okay? He's going to put every distraction in your heart, in your mind tonight. He's going to get you distracted upon everything, but you need to know your enemy. You need to know your enemy. He says this, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Notice the next thing that he says, For it is written. You say, well, what do you mean? What do you see there? The devil knows the Word of God. Don't think for one minute he don't know the Word of God. He knows the Word of God better than most Christians know the Word of God. He comes to the Lord, Jesus, and he says, It's been written about you. I know what the Bible says. But do you know what it says? I know what the Bible says. I'm playing Satan here. He says, I know what the Bible says. But do you know what it says? He says, For it is written. And then he begins to tempt him here with the pride of life. He says, if thou be the Son of God, he says, cast thyself down, and he shall give these angels charge concerning thee. Think about this. He said, if you're God, if you're the Son of God, you just throw yourself down on the ground and let the angels take control of you. If you're the Son of God, prove it to me. And I don't care it's very dominant in the male species, but it's even present in the female. Is the challenge. Mm-hmm. Think about it. You challenge me and tell me I can't do it, and I'm going to kill myself trying to prove to you that I can. He said, if thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down. He could have proved at that very moment that he was the Son of God. He knew that he was the Son of God. Do you see the pride of life there? But then he took him up into the, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Look at verse number 8. And again, the devil taking him up into a high mountain and showeth him. What's that? Lust of the eyes. All the kingdoms of the world. He says, he took him up there and he showed him all the world. And he said, look, I will give you all of this. Now think about this just for a moment. He said, I'll give you all of this. Do you realize he couldn't offer that if it wasn't his to give? If it wasn't his to give, he couldn't have offered it. But he said, I'll give you all of this if you'll fall down and worship me. You do realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, being God in the flesh, being the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, knew that he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and knew that there was someday coming in the future, in the near future, that it was going to be his anyway. But the devil said, okay, we can bypass the cross, we can bypass this, you just fall down and worship me and I'll give it to you now. So I want you to see tonight, as he's brought into light by the Scripture, his motive and his methods are to tempt the sin. The Bible says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Do you see the enticements that he made? He said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. If you'll fall down and worship me, I'll go ahead and give you all this. The enticements. And you know that he tempts you to sin the same way that he tempted the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:14, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And then we see the next place that the devil is mentioned is in Matthew chapter 9. And I quoted that verse, now turn there. And I want to show you some things here. But when they were departed, verse 31, but when they were departed, spread abroad his fame all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. Okay? Go back to Matthew chapter number 8. Look in verse 28. And when he was come to the other side in the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils. Y'all see that? Y'all in Matthew 8:28? Right? All right. Let's look at this one. Let me give you one more right here. Go to Matthew chapter number 11. I didn't mark it. But But it's in Matthew chapter 11. Somebody said verse 13? Huh? Verse 18? Yeah. Look, for John neither came eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. Matthew 12. All right, we're in Matthew 11 there. Look in Matthew 12, verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil. You'll see that? Matthew 12, 22. Matthew 15. A daughter, verse number 1. Nope. Verse 22. And behold, a woman came unto the coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a what? A devil. All right. Matthew 15. Is that what we were just in? All right. Then let's look at Matthew 17. Verse number 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, saying, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on me, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the water and off into the fire and off into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. You see, some characteristics of being possessed by the devil is a dumb, is unable to speak. They're blind. They're dumb. One's grievously vexed. Means a voice, that word grievously vexed, means that there's a voice with a supernatural spirit inside of them. Schizophrenia. Multiple personalities. Matthew 17:15 says that he's a lunatic. He falls into the fire. He falls into the water. Mark says that he foams at the mouth. He's thrown down by the enemy. Self-destruction. I'm talking about, we are in a battle today. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are fighting the enemy. And he is an enemy that we are no match for outside the Spirit of God in our life. Outside us taking the whole armor of God. And we wonder today, I'll be honest with you, I'm very careful of how I say this, but I want you to understand, as I said the other night, the devils didn't get off the boat with a lot of those that came out of the jungles over there, and I'm just not talking about the Africans, I'm talking about wherever they might have been, worshiping some unknown god or worshiping devils over there, beating their drums, okay, and I'll just go ahead and say this while I'm here, beloved, the beating of the drums has to do with devil worship. Alright? It has to do with devil worship. And as they didn't jump off them when them people got on the plane come over here. And a lot of these medical problems and things that we're seeing in our society today is people that are possessed with devils. And I want you to understand, Paul is writing to us, and he says, I'm telling you, you need to be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. You need to be able to stand against his trickery. You need to be able to stand against the force that he's trying to overrun you in. The Bible calls him Lucifer, the old serpent, the dragon. He was in heaven with God before creation. His description beauty is described in Isaiah 14 in detail. His role and position of service is described in Ezekiel 28. His fall is told in Isaiah 14. The Bible says that he has great wrath, for he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And we think that he's some little being running around with a pitchfork and a pointed tail. When the Bible says, no marvel himself, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Do you understand the complexity of your enemy? One day he can be as mean as a dragon and a serpent, and the next day he can be as sweet as icing on the cake. And he can look at you like there's no harm, no foul in him. He's an angel of light. And here we are today, Brother Wesley, and we wake up every morning and we don't put on the whole armor of God. We wake up and we don't pray. We wake up and we just go out and we wonder why we come back in beat up and distracted and discouraged. And we wonder why it happens the way it does. We wonder, like even tonight as I'm in service and I'm doing my best to teach you the Word of God about your enemy. You're fighting sleep. Your mind is wandering. You're going from here and there. Why? Because he is doing all that he can. Because he knows that as long as you don't know your enemy, you'll not be able to stand. He's distracting you. And he's good at it. He's good at it. Jesus calls him a thief, a robber, a murderer, a liar. He withstood the messenger of Daniel 21 days, and Michael the archangel had to call him alongside to come and help him. Peter tells us that he's our adversary. James tells us to resist him. Paul tells us that he can weaken us by his messengers. He warns us Satan himself can be transformed into an angel of light. In the book of Jude, we were told to resist him. And yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, disputing about the body of Moses, did not even bring a relevant accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." And if Michael the archangel said, "The Lord rebuke thee," how in the world do you think you and I in the flesh can say? Now I know the Bible said, Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense to me," when he was talking to Peter. And the Bible does say, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you." 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary is a roaring lion walking about seeking who he may devour." He was able to get David, a man after God's own heart, in sin and numbering the people. Give this. He was able. I believe Ananias and Sapphira was saved. And he was able to fill their heart with deceit and allow them to lie to the Holy Ghost of God. And we wake up every day not putting our armor on. And we wake up every day thinking, "Oh, we're going to be a stroll in the park." And then when something happens, first thing we do, what do? We blame the devil. We blame him. We wonder why our minds are the way they are. We wonder why our homes are the way they are. We wonder why the joy of our Christian life is gone. We wonder why our churches are suffering. We wonder why in the world today, even today, it makes us wonder, why is the left fighting the right and the right fighting the left? What is going on? Why? Because we have an enemy. And he is very, very good at his job. And get this. I've made this statement before. Caleb, if he can deceive a third of the angels in heaven to rise up against God in the heavens, you're exactly right, Mr. Ray. We ain't got a chance without the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't think he can't deceive you, and he deceived those perfect beings in a perfect state to revolt against God, what makes you think that me and you are a match for him? See, John said, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He didn't say greater is me than he that is in the world. It's greater than he that is in me. And we see, as I showed you tonight, Mr. Ray, through the Word of God, he was able to possess people. He was able to influence people. The Bible says he's able to blind people whom the God of this world hath blinded. He's able to fill people's heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. He is very good. And the thing about, and this is what's sad, understand this. All right, now get this. And I'm going to talk, Lord bearing my helper, next Wednesday night, I'm going to talk about verse number 12. That's just the leader. That is just the leader. One man had thousands of him in him. Remember the one, the Gadarene demonic? Jesus rebuked him. He said, "What is thy name?" He said, "My name's Legion, for we are many." And a legion of Roman soldiers was in the thousands. And I'm talking about one being. I'm just talking about the leader tonight. I'll be honest with you, I don't even know that I've ever done enough for the Lord Jesus Christ for the devil even be concerned about me. He just sends his little minions in my way. Stumbles me up, trips me up, and gets me to fall. But you know what, Brother Wesley? We have the ability to stand against him. Because he said that ye may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. And in verse number 13, he says, "And having done all to stand, stand therefore." There is a power that's greater in him, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Amen? But without him, you and I are hopeless. Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, I pray that, God, that you'd be with us. I pray that you'd strengthen us. Help us, Lord, to be able to withstand against the